Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Where is the difference in the playing ability?
Well, we both have the kind of the same feel with the groove and different things like that. That's probably due that, you know, I listened to Carmine as a kid and we both listened to Motown and that kind of stuff. So we have that groove, but then on the other hand, I like to play a lot of faster things. I'm more precise on the fills and on the beat. Carmine's more, we always compare it to like Gene Krupa. Carmine's Gene Krupa and I would be Buddy Rich. I love Buddy Rich. And so he's the showman with all the stick twirling and all this stuff and that kind of groove and thing. And I'm more of the heavy, you know, powerhouse kind of thing, you know, and I play louder than he does. And, you know, I love playing metal.
Your first drummer was
the Pete
John Stumpy Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great. Tall, blonde geek with glasses.
Yeah.
Good drummer.
Great look, good drummer,
good,
yeah.
Good drummer.
Yeah, fine.
What happened to him?
He died. He died in a bizarre gardening accident some years back.
It's really one of those things. It was, you know, the authorities said, you know, best leave it unsolved,
yeah.
Really, you know.
And he was replaced by
Stumpy Joe.
Eric Stumpy
Eric
Joe.
Childs.
Yes. And what happened to Stumpy Joe?
Well, it's not a very pleasant story, but he died. He choked on the official explanation was he choked on vomit.
It was actually someone else's vomit. It's not
exactly.
You know, there's no real.
Well, they can't prove whose vomit it was. They never. They don't have facilities
no
in Scotland Yard.
You can't really dust for vomit.
Now, during the Flower People period, who was your drummer?
Stumpy's replacement, Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing
festival,
jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Well, blues jazz, really.
Blues jazz festival.
It was in the
Isle of Lucy.
The Isle of Lucy.
Isle of Lucy.
Jazz blues festival.
And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
Hey, everybody, this is Kasim Sultan, a very, very famous bass player, and you are listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy Florio and Jeff Talinsky.
Hi out there, this is Andy Parker from UFO, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy and Jeff.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mano.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. That's right, folks. Live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are the Hard Rock and Sports Show, 3-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports, which there ain't much of any of that right now, folks. And it's Monday night. Not to be confused with Thursday night, the regular time slot for the Hard Rock and Sports Show. It's Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30 right here, Blog Talk Radio. And of course, you can find every episode of the Hard Rock and Sports Show at the completion of each Hard Rock and Sports Show on Spotify by going to Spotify.com. Go to the podcast section, type in Hard Rocket Sports, and you'll find 300 and something episodes of the Hard Rocket Sports Show for your listening pleasure. And, of course, every Saturday morning, go to RadicalOnlineRadio.com, and you'll catch the rebroadcast all day long, mind you. They play it on the loop all day long. Radical Online Radio plays each Thursday night's broadcast every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Radical Online Radio Network. So, guys, lots of stuff going on in the world. Not a lot of baseball, not a lot of sports and music, but we will try to figure something out tonight. We're doing a lot of special editions. We did one Saturday night. We're going to do an hour. We did an hour and 40 minutes, and half of it was just bullshitting. So Jeff will be on in 2 seconds. Right after that, we have a special co-host tonight, our dear friend, the former producer of the Hard Rocket Sports Show and the current producer, co-host, founder, and the all-around great guy, Around the Kit Show, also on Block Talk Radio, Mr. Joe Ganzis will join Jeff and I for a few minutes tonight, hopefully for an hour or better. But we'll just open the mics up and wing it. Maybe we'll talk a little welcome back. I want to talk about some old TV shows I've been watching that hold up and some that don't. I watched a bunch of those this week. Major League Baseball is trying to come up with a plan. We'll talk about the one that seems to be the one they're heading toward. We'll do maybe a little NFL draft, and then, like I said, whatever we wing it. Just I got to do this quick. We locked in today We locked in Tommy John, the pitcher for the New York Yankees, also has the most famous sports injury operation of all time. Tommy John will be Jeff and my guest on May 7th, and I'm going to announce it. Screw it, nobody's going to fire me for it. So yeah, I spoke to Harry Carson, the middle linebacker for the New York Giants today. He will be on with us sometime probably in May. He wants to let things calm down a little bit. I don't know how much calmer we can get. We're all stuck in the house. But Harry Carson, the Hall of Fame middle linebacker from the New York Giants, 76 through 88 or 89, will be our guest sometime in May. So we got some good guests coming up. Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad joins us on the 30th of this month. And the NFL draft show, we'll be doing video. That's going to be a video show, hopefully 99%. And we actually have a guest going to be a sports bookie from Vegas. Will be, I think, I'm still working that out, but we're trying to get that set up right now. Lots of stuff going on. Check out hardrocketsports.com. Let's get Jeff on and get Joe on real quick. We bring on the first up, the co-host of the Hard Rocket Sports Show. He is Mr. Jeff Talwinski. Jefe.
What's up, man?
I was pretty psyched to do a show. I did some home repairs today, so to say the least, I was pumped to get on the air tonight.
Well, I got a funny story for you too.
All right, you want to tell your story to me, or you want to bring Joey on and tell the story to Joey? Just want to do it with us quick, or just what do you want to do?
It doesn't matter. If he's listening, he can hear it anyway.
Okay, go ahead. All right, so tell your story, and we'll bring Joe on.
Bit of a home do-it-yourself for today. So
You're not telling the story you told me off the air, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
No. I had to get a new weed whacker and blower for my house.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
We just bought the house. I didn't have a weed whacker and a blower for a while. So we got this battery-operated weed whacker and blower. So, so far, so good. It's not bad. So
okay.
My wife, I was upstairs. Matter of fact, I was talking to you. And she sends me a text, and she's like, why don't you come outside and try out your new toy because the sun is out. So I'm like, okay. So I go downstairs. I get the weed whacker, and the grass was a little high in the spot that I was cutting. What did I do? Weed whack some grass. Bang. There was a turd.
All right. Do we know what type of turd it was? Was it a person turd? Was it a bull turd?
No, it was a basil turd.
Ah, basil turd in the yard, hidden in the grass.
Yeah, so I weed whacked right through the turd. So
nice.
Get washed. And then I go to use the blower, and they call it an electric sweeper. They don't even call it a blower. My hairdryer pumps out harder than this fucking thing. So I got covered in sprayed and shit, and then my fucking blower sucks. But I thought it would be kind of funny to tell everybody how I got covered in shit.
I have to follow, as the reporter journalist in me, I have to ask one follow-up question. Was the turd fossilized or still on the soft side? It's important to the story.
If it was fossilized, I wouldn't have worried about it too much. It would have been kind of crumbly. But this one was relatively soft because of the wetness and the age of the turd. This couldn't have been no more than 24 hours old. So
So Basil's is planting turds like IEDs in the back.
And if you're not paying attention and you pound one of those with the weed whacker, then it's over.
Yes, I got it. It's kind of sprays like shrapnel. I got you. Yeah. Well, listen, it'll teach you a lesson: one, to go out there and clean up after your dog when she's out there, and two, to pay better attention when you're weed whacking.
Listen, the dog planted a mine right on, like, it was grass that was coming out through the driveway or through the back patio, whatever you want to call it. So she shit right in a line of grass. Usually she shits right in the middle in the open. This one looked like the sky.
See, folks, you never know when you open up a Hard Rock and Sports show and you listen in it, you never know kind of what you're going to get. You could be talking about, you know, baseball or football or Iron Maiden. Or Basil's dumps in the backyard. You just never know what's gonna happen when you open up a microphone on the Hard Rock and Sports, especially on the off night when we're not on Thursday nights. But Jeff, you ready to get our dear friend Mr. Joe Ganzis on the air with us and talk about something? All right, let's get him on. He's the former producer of the Hard Rock and Sports Show. He is our friend for close to 40 years, and he is the executive producer, founder, and host of the Around the Kit show every Sunday night, 8 to 11 on the Block Talk radio channels. He is, of course, our good friend, Mr. Joseph Ganzis. Joey.
Hey, Tommy. Hey, Jeff. How you doing, guys?
What's good, up, Joe? Happy Easter, Joe.
Yeah, you too, guys. That was a shitty story, man.
Wasn't as bad as getting sprayed with it.
hey, Joe. So, we've been talking. Jeff and I have been doing some, even on the Thursday night shows, but we've been doing some off night shows. We've done probably six or seven of them. So, we kind of get to the point where we talk about just about anything. So, like, one thing I always ask Jeff, and I'm going to ask him after I ask you, is, what do you, I know that you're working some, you're home some. What are you doing to keep yourself busy?
Well, besides this, I'm always busy doing something around the house. So just, we both have shows to do. I'm always doing research like you are. So there's always stuff. But we've been doing a lot of projects, me and my fiance around the house. We've been doing a lot of landscaping stuff. I built some steps in my garage. I built a little bench for us. So we're trying to keep busy. We're making a really big walkway around the house. So we're keeping busy. Just trying to do our best. Just to stay sane now,
Yeah, Jeff, I'm envious of you guys because, like, I live in a house now where I cannot really do anything on the outside of my house. I only have the first 3 feet off the house. So, you can maybe do a little planting and you can throw some mulch down. But, Jeff, I'm kind of hamstrung. All my projects are indoors and there's not many to do. I don't know what to do with myself.
Trade with me right now. Trade with me right the fuck now. Pay for moving expenses. I'll trade with you right now.
But Joe, you're right. I'll tell you something, guys. I realized something today. I'm going to let you two guys in. My wife doesn't know this. Nobody.
Oh,
I have not told one single person in my life. And if I can't tell you guys, I can't tell anybody. So here's what I've decided. I never want to go back to work again. I've decided I'm going to ride out the coronavirus any way I can. I don't know. I've been home now for, I'm into my fourth week of being home, and I like it. I kind of like it, and I'm getting lazy. Good job.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you getting paid by your job? I don't want to get personal.
No.
But
my company has not paid me. I got paid for the first couple of weeks. Hello? Everybody? Hello?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got paid the first couple of weeks, and then after that, it was kind of like, I'm gone. So I've been trying for 2 weeks now to get the New York State Department of Labor to start issuing me my checks that I'm entitled to. And if I tell you the nightmare that's been, I got a phone call from DOL yesterday. Had a guy call me on Easter Sunday to try to help me get my claim finished. told me I was done and all set. I called in this morning, and they said, oh, I'm sorry. Your claim is not complete. Call back another time. So I'm to say I'm frustrated, but, you know, financially, I'm not spending any money other than a couple of $100 on food every week or so.
Right.
Spending any money. I got to pay bills, but I got to tell you, Jeff, I think I'm leaning to stay at home. I might have to, like, maybe start cutting your grass. Maybe I could cut your grass weekly and alleviate you from the turds, and maybe I can make a business out of it. I mean,
I'll tell you the truth. It's not even that there's grass here, Tom. There's just nothing to do here. And after having lived in the apartment for so long, it's like, why do I want to do this? You know what I mean?
Maybe we can plant some grass, and I can cut it.
Yeah, you know,
smoke some grass. Never mind fucking flavor. That's what I want to do.
But I'll tell you the one thing it's afforded me, and Joe, you brought up a good point. For the show, I spent a lot of hours a day sending out emails. And, listen, Joe, you know, I don't have to tell you, and Jeff knows a little bit too because I send him some of them. But, you know, I'll send out 100 emails, no exaggeration, and get 2 or 3 hits.
Well,
and that's the only thing that's been good about this. It gives me the opportunity to send out a few hundred more.
Tom, years ago when I was the producer for you and I – got emails. I remember the same process, and I would always use 10%, even though it's a little less. If I send out 100 and 10 people get back to me, that's a home run for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it in a sense, 10% getting back to me, just to even say no. I've sent out Twitter messages, Facebook messages, emails, like any way you can contact people. Now, like again, you know, this week, I guess people are home. They're paying more. Maybe they're bored. I sent out an email this morning, and this afternoon, Tommy John's agent called me to say, yeah, sure, he'd love to do your show.
How does Tommy John, what does he need an agent for?
Well, you know, I got to tell you something, and I'm not giving it because it's on his website. The guy gets $25,000 to $30,000 to show up at a speaking engagement at 76 years old. Has not pitched in the major leagues since 1989, and he gets $25,000 or $30,000 just to show up to speak at an event. So if I was getting that, I'd have an agent too, Joe.
Yeah, sure.
I
guess
I've decided today that I'm going to try to find the angle to stay home for good. I've decided. I like staying home. I like working doing the show, and that's it. So whatever happens from this point on, somebody put some electrodes to my nuts, I'm going to do everything I can to stay home for good. So that's the official announcement.
Right? Nice.
What the hell? What do you think, Jeff? Can't hurt.
Listen, I would love to be able to stay home full time. That'd be forget about it. That'd be great.
Yeah. Listen, we'll see how my plan works out in the future. I haven't divulged that to the wife yet, so we all got to figure out that. It ain't going to fly there either, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, here's one thing I've been doing to keep myself busy, and I've been watching not a lot of TV. When I'm at my computer, I got a TV up onto the right on the wall, and I've always got something, but I'm always looking for something old. And I got to tell you guys, I watch a lot of old sitcoms this weekend. Welcome Back, Kotter, Barney Miller, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you guys watch any of that stuff anymore. If you're flipping channels and you see it, some of it holds up really well, and some don't. And that's what, you know, I'm curious for you guys. Is there any old sitcom that you generally watch now? Like, and I'm not talking about stuff from like the 80s. I'm not talking stuff from 2000s. I'm talking like 80s, 70s. Is anyone in particular? I have a couple. I do watch Barney Miller quite a bit. It's on all the time. And I do find myself watching MASH, though. I don't know why, but once in a while, when it's on, I'll flip it, and it's there. Is there anyone, Joe, that you kind of still pay attention to at all? I know Jeff's not much of a TV guy, but do you?
I watch Happy Days. I still watch it a lot, and I watch Three's Company. I love it, and I like when Lenny and Squiggy are on Laverne and Shirley. It's a classic.
Now, Jeff, that is true. Lenny and Squeaky, you know, because every once in a while Lenny whips out the guitar, and you can imagine him as Michael McKean. Michael, you can imagine him as David St. Hubbard's Jeff. So,
the Squeak tones.
Yes, Lenny and the Squeak Tones. Jeff, so is there any particular show you pay attention to?
I'll tell you the truth, dude. I don't even know what channel that they were on, but if I could find reruns of The Odd Couple, The Odd Couple was like a timeless comedy to me. I used to love it. I remember when it was on Channel 7 on Friday night when I was a kid, and I used to watch it all the time. The Benny Hill Show.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what the problem with the Benny Hill Show is? The problem with Benny Hill, Jeff, is now we have porn on the internet. So back in the day, it was the closest you could see cannons, you know, or it's a woman half-dressed. Now it's like, you know, so, but I get your point. It was funny. Benny Hill was funny on a Saturday night before.
But you know what? So think of it this way. When you watch, if you watch any, holy shit. You watch that show. Back to that time. That's why I like to watch it. You know, you just sit back and you don't get to watch, you don't get to see it much, but if you do, you remember and like you would go to school with the old guy getting his head slapped and shit. It was fucking great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of them don't hold. Like, I watched a lot of Welcome by Carter this week for some reason, and some of the early years weren't bad. But, you know, and all of a sudden they were like collecting, they were collecting like Social Security checks and it was still in high school. You know, Joe? So, you know, it's like by season three, it's like, I'm not buying this. And the storylines got bad. They started bringing all these. So some of these shows really don't hold up, Joe.
Come one episode, I think Epstein's mother wrote him a sick note, signed Epstein's mother. You remember that?
It's almost every episode. Almost every episode.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
every single episode that was.
I'll tell you, he might be the best character. You know, most people think of Travolta's Barbarino or Horseshack. I personally am an Epstein fan. I think Epstein's character was the best character of all. Ron Hedges was great.
Didn't he die?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's alive or not, to be honest with you. I do not know. I didn't know. I know Horseshack's dead. Horseshack passed away. I know that.
Yeah,
but
and
I don't
boom,
know that. Boom,
boom, boom, Washington.
Boom, Freddie Boone Washington. But, you know, there's certain parts of that show that hold up. And, you know, and there's some other shows that I've flipped on, like Soap is terrible, doesn't hold up today. So, you know, you kind of got to be careful. There are a few shows.
You know, Tom,
Soap
was supposed to be like goofy comedy, I think.
It was, but it was, you know what, like the storylines were just terrible. Like just, you know, maybe the first year or something was good. But then all of a sudden they had aliens showing up and the kid, the grandson or granddaughter, whatever it was, that was possessed by a demon. And it was completely off the charts crazy. I mean, just, you know, I mean, they had some, Billy Crystal was funny in it, but it was terrible. But the one thing I did watch this weekend, which I don't know if you guys were fans of, but growing up, I always listened to Mel Allen on Sunday mornings on This Week in Baseball.
Sure.
I think it was Major League Baseball Channel had two episodes of it, from one from 81 and one from 82, and it was so great to watch Mel Allen do that. I was like, man, they should play this every single day. And it's stuff like that I wish that they would play on this thing to keep it. Because I got to tell you, I turn the TV, it's the same shows, it's all news and reality shows. You know, it's like impossible to find things to watch. I mean, you're home full time. And, you know, although yesterday Fox did play the greatest Super Bowl of all time, Super Bowl 42 with the Giants beating the Patriots. That was a great day, Joe. So,
you had to start them off, Tom. You had to start them off.
I had to go right for the jugular. But, I'll ask you this, but Joe, when you sit down – with your fiance, or if your daughter's over, or her son's there, when you guys are sitting down and watch TV, are you looking for a movie? Are you looking for a TV show? What is Joe Ganser searching for when he's looking for TV to watch TV at night?
We don't really. From Monday to Friday, I only see Rachel. I'll be honest with you. I only see her like for an hour in the morning because I leave for work by 4 p.m. every day, and she gets home. So on the weekends,
But during this show, even now? Like even right now? Like she's still. I'm talking about like right now.
Right now, we've been watching a lot of the ID channel. She likes that stuff. And we watched a show called Designated Survivor. We're watching a series with Kiefer Sullivan. If you've seen that. It's not on anymore, but it's on demand. But we don't watch a lot of TV. I watch one show every week. It's called Blue Bloods. I watch it Friday night. That's about it. But I don't have a lot of time for TV because I work nights and I'm busy during the day. But on weekends, we usually watch movies. I have Netflix and everything, so it's pretty cool.
I DVR. I have four or five shows I DVR every week, and then usually I watch them on the weekend. Jeff, what about you? Right. During all this, do you watch any? Do you watch a little more TV? And if you are, what are you watching?
You know why I don't watch any TV? Because we just, you know, being that we moved into the house, I had to do the downstairs room so that we could paint. I had to paint and everything so that I could get another couch and put it down there because my current couch doesn't fit there. So right now I just got a chair down there, and I go upstairs, I practice, or I'm on the, doing the show with you or playing games on my iPad. That I don't even really watch TV, man. I just, there's nothing on there that I want to see.
Yeah,
you know,
see,
I couldn't tell you one show that's on.
You know what, Tom? I think your point is good, Tom, and Jeff just said it in a way. Years ago, there was less, but we watched more. It makes any sense? Now there's more to watch, and we watch less. You know?
I don't know. Like, I agree with it. I agree with it. Like, right now, again, I watch a lot of TV. I'll be honest with you. I feel like, for me, when I come in from the door from the end of my day, I want to be entertained. Now, I got the show. I sometimes pick up the guitar quite a bit. Whatever. And I keep myself busy. But, like, even when I'm doing the show, the TV's on right above my head. It's usually, you know, on some sort of sports. You know, he's got the ticker going by in case I want to bring up something. But when I'm working the show, or when I first wake up, or when I go to bed, TV's on. Now, again, usually, especially at night, it's like Two and a Half Men is probably my favorite sitcom right now. So I've been watching that, you know, incessantly. But I watch a bunch of shows, you know, the weekly shows that, you know, that I DVR. And then usually on a Saturday morning, I wake up and I spend 3 hours and I go through them all at the end of the day. But, you know, it's hard now not be able to go out, not having contact with people. I read the newspaper like every word front to back. I don't really like the front of the paper much anymore. And then it's all, you know, jump on TV or jump on the computer and get some work accomplished. So just trying to keep busy during this time. Have you guys noticed any changes lately? Do you feel like, Jeff, have you noticed anything? Do you feel like things have gotten better, worse? Give me a quick thought on how things are right now.
There's nothing going on. You can't go to stores. People that you bump into do see a little friendlier. Like sometimes if you're at a food store and you're going for a wagon or something and you hand a wagon off to somebody, they'll say, like, you know, stay safe or be careful. So, I mean, it that's getting a little bit. But, you know, overall it's hard. It's very hard to say because you're not out enough. You're still not interacting with enough people to see if there's a difference. And, I mean, listen, hopefully it will change and change for the better, but time will tell with that.
Yeah, Joe, what about you, Joe? What are you noticing lately?
Just really been going either, you know, my job, I'm working 2 days a week. Every other week I'm working 2 days. This week I work 3 days. But we just really go to shopping and home. You know, not many, like Jeff said, not many interacting right now with people. And I guess it sucks in a way. But I think you just have to do, you know what they're telling you now. I see people complaining about everything, but just it's going to pass. You know, I just think we have to just ride it out. And I wanted to talk about this whole thing about, you know, if I can, how we want to rush to get back to everything. I mean, I know that Trump is like, oh, we're going to reopen America. I think it's just, you know, is there a real rush right now? I know we all want to do it, but let's do it the right way. You know, let's make sure it's safe.
Well, no, I think everybody agrees with that, Joe. But I think what the president said, and I totally agree, is we're not built to have our economy shut down this amount of time and paying basically for a lot of people to stay home. So I think and I think he's right. Now, again, I'm not saying rush to open the doors. I'm not telling you that we should be, you know, jamming this in. But I think he's right. And you heard it today. I don't know if you guys saw Cuomo's press conference with all the other governors in the Northeast. And they're all anxious to get the doors back open and running. Now, you know, again, we don't want to do this and have another pandemic starting all over again. But, you know, I think there is a rush to get there. Just to me, I think you got to wait till middle of May, to be honest with you. Get there right before Memorial Day weekend. Give people a chance to get going. And I think that's the time.
Too soon.
You think it's too soon?
Well, too soon. Let me ask you something, okay? And I want you to think about this.
Go ahead.
You're talking about the possibility of opening up the country in about a month, okay? Mm-hmm. A little bit more than a month. Actually, what's today's date? Today's the 12th? Today's the 13th. In about a month. Now, even if they, in a month, they turn around and they said, okay, we're going to have limited restaurant openings. So, like, a restaurant can now sit 20 people, okay? Movie theaters could sit X amount of people. Bars could have this, that, and the other thing. It's too soon. The only thing that's going to happen again is this is all going to flare up again. They need to put us in the house and keep us there. If they had said stay in the house for a month, they could have opened up for May 1st, I think. I really do. But I think that it's too soon. I think it's way too soon.
I agree with you.
Something that we don't. I think they have possibly, I don't want to get into all of this shit, please, but I think that they know what it takes to get rid of this virus, and that's why they're even saying May 1st, May 15th. They know something that they're not telling us.
They say in May 1st, guys, just to give us some glimmer of hope. I think Jeff is 100% right. I think it's too early. And if I could bring up one more point, Tom, I know the other day we had a little discussion on Facebook that I had mentioned that de Blasio, who is just a buffoon, I can't stand de Blasio, but he wants to keep the school closed. I think it's the best thing he's ever done. And I know the governor hasn't agreed with it yet, but if give me a chance to – every day in schools you have 200 faculty, people come in and out, food service people. You're going to tell me, let's say May 1st or May 8th, we open up schools again. You know a week later someone's going to get it. Let's call it a day for school. Come back in September when it's fresh. I ask both of you, Tom, honestly, do you want your kid, Tommy Florio, going back to school before this year?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Right off the top of my head, Joe, the answer would be no. But here's one you have to take a step back and look at it. The first thing they want is everybody to go back to work. Okay, because why? Because that gets the economy open. It gets people get money in their pocket. They want people to come off unemployment. Because right now, for the next 4 months, if you're on unemployment, you're getting $1,000. And a lot of people don't take home $1,000. But yet, they're taking and staying home for that. So here's the problem. By keeping the schools closed and then opening up businesses, a lot of people don't have babysitters for their kids. So the problem becomes, what do these people who are now you want off of the unemployment rolls and back working do with their children? So a lot of them are going to go, screw it. I'm making more money for the next 4 or 5 months, whatever it is. I'll stay home, not deal with it, and then I'll worry about going back to school, go back to work in September when my kids go back to school.
What did you say 10 minutes ago?
That I don't want to go back to work.
Exactly. And you haven't even signed up for unemployment yet. So now, am I supposed to sit here, listen, and believe that out there is somebody right now that's making more money to stay home than they were to go to work? They're not going to sit there and say, well, I can't wait to go back to work so that I can send my kid to school. So, no, they're making more money now. And you and me and everybody else is doing the same thing. We're banking money right now. Okay, the economy is going to fucking blossom as soon as they open up the doors, and they'll be like, okay, go ahead, because everybody's been sitting in the motherfucking house. People are going to go ballistic buying shit.
But I agree.
They have to do it smart. If they don't do it smart, we're going to be doing time in the house again. And I guarantee you, they're not going to do it smart. There's no way.
I don't know about that. I think the target date of May 1st is just what you said, Joe. Just something to give everybody hope. Trump had thrown out Easter. So he said, listen, it's just a you know, just a kind of guideline. And they said, okay, we're not ready yet, but we are starting to peak and plateau, whatever they're calling it nowadays. Well, but Joe, I think that at some point they're going to pick a day, and whether they open up sporadically, maybe just in the Northeast, maybe the Southeast, or they open it up across the country, like Jeff said, I think at some point you kind of got to open the, you know, turn the ignition and get to start it again.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I understand. Now, the reason why you have to understand, what is this year? It's an election year for Trump. So he's trying to get, you know, maybe he thinks he didn't do this the right way in the beginning. I think he did fine on some things. But he's also saying, you know, I got to say something because I want votes. So I think votes has to come in here. He's saying, you know, he wants to reopen. I don't even I think Jeff has some credence here that I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure June 1st is good, Tom. I really think it's like this. You have a house that's on fire. The house is on fire. You're putting it out, but it's going to take a long time. You're not sure where the fire started and how long it's going to take. So let's wait till the whole fire is out. That's all I'm saying.
I don't disagree, but Jeff, at some point, like if you're in New York and New Jersey, Jeff, you want to be opened up for the summer because that's the big point, you know, especially for, you know, the Hamptons, Fire Island, LBI, Jersey Shore.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are good that could possibly work out. And the virus is supposed to, you know, not be as active during the warm summer months as they would be in the cold. But the bottom line is this, you know, they never really shut everything down. They allowed people to go out. They allowed people to do things. What they should have done is turn around and say, listen, you have to fucking just stay in the house. That's all there is to it. If I don't see you, I can't give you the virus, and you can't give it to me. Mm-hmm. Paul Gill was on the island two weeks ago. So he got in touch with me, and he said he wanted to come by and see the house. So I was like, okay. So in order to see the front of the house, I had to go out in the front and let him see the front. You know what I mean? He saw the front.
Yeah.
And then to see the back, he had to go back around the other block and look through the back fence because I couldn't let him go through the house. Now, this is somebody that I would never have anybody, you know, I would never have a problem with this man coming in my house. You know what I mean? Normally, I would have a problem with him sitting on my bed. You know what I mean? So that's how I thought of you, and you guys also, because I know you for so long. But now it's like, no, don't get no closer. Stay right there.
All right,
I'm going to show you the back of the house. Get in your hot car, drive away. So
as
far as opening up everything for the summer, yeah, that's feasible under certain circumstances. You know, I wouldn't open up city pools, beaches.
Correct.
That's going to be a hard thing to open, man, because some of these beaches get packed. How the fuck are you going to do that? You know,
again, I think they're going to use their judgment. I think they'll use their judgment, and I think you said it right. I think they're all expecting that once the heat, you know, the weather gets really warm, a lot of this will dissipate. So I think that that's what they're anticipating. Joe, would you agree?
Absolutely. You both have great points, but I gotta side with Jeff a little bit here. That and not saying you're saying something bad, Tom. It's just that I think we have to really. I know you want to say all the revenue, open up everything for summer. But again, I think we have to, you know, on the side of caution, be safe doing this stuff. And we're talking about sports, too. I think the only league that has a chance to play is actually the NFL, because it just so happens that they're in September. I think they might have a chance to actually play a season. These Arizona leagues for baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. You guys know. I don't know. I don't think they should play. We should have all these people around. Now basketball wants to start next week. I don't know. Maybe you just call it a day. But I think the NFL, because they got lucky, it didn't happen on their time, might play. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Major League Baseball came up with another alternative, was to play games in Florida and in Arizona. And I'm looking at, like, they came up with so basically they have two different leagues. One's the Grapefruit League, which is Florida. The other one's the Cactus League.
Right.
And they changed the divisions around. And I like it and I hate it. Here's why I like it, because you get to see baseball. But I don't like it because they're talking about, Jeff. So now you're talking about here's the Yankees division, Jeff. It's the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Tigers, the Pirates, and the Phillies. So, there's three divisions. Here's the other problem. They're talking about all 30 teams making the playoffs and playing the World Series in a dome in November. I hate it all.
Listen, let's start with the changing around of the divisions, okay? Baseball at this point in time hasn't even thrown a single pitch, okay?
Correct.
And let's face it, baseball is got to be right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they were the third major sport out of the four. It's got to be the NFL, NBA, baseball,
that.
And hockey.
I don't see them overtaking football. I can see it. Football, basketball. Go ahead. I gotcha.
Okay. So I feel as though that they're going to try to do everything they can so that maybe they could get some fans back. If they were the first ones to come back, and not for nothing, think of this. Say you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Now, all of a sudden, for 1 year, you're in the division with the Yankees. What, could you have the other divisions listed in front of you?
I have more. I have every division.
Can you just go through them real quick? Let's get a look at what this sounds like.
Hold on, somebody. Okay. Hold on one second. Okay, so the Grapefruit League South Division would be the Red Sox, the Twins, the Braves, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Baltimore Orioles. And then the third division, the East Division of the Grapefruit League, would be the Nationals, the Astros, the Mets, Cardinals, and Florida Marlins.
No, not for nothing. I kind of like this. I like that.
Okay.
Because now that may actually pique my interest into watching some of this, because when would you ever see some of these teams in these divisions? It would be a novelty for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It just would make everything completely different for baseball.
I understand that
it, like, for certain people like you, your father, Joe, I don't know how you feel about it, but I imagine you're like Tommy. It might bother you, but it's something different. You know, like, it's just completely different. And let these teams play a full season with those divisions, and just whoever makes the playoffs makes the playoffs. Don't let everybody in. That's stupid.
Well, that's the part I don't like, Jeff. Joe, I don't know how you feel. Like, I could care. I mean, it bothers me a little bit. Like, I don't understand. Like, most of the American League East is it's all here. The National League East is here. So why not keep the same divisions? I get maybe they're trying to spice it up a little bit. But, Joe, you can't possibly play through, let's say, 90 games, 100 games, and then let everybody make the playoffs in some sort of weird tournament. That to me, would be the worst thing ever.
I mean, what's their motive for that? Can you tell me why?
It doesn't say. All it says is that the winner – basically, here's what happens. At the end of this season, so whether they say at the end of the regular season, the top two teams, or let's say whatever playoff system happens, then the Grapefruit League winner and the Cactus League winner would play in a World Series game in a dome stadium in November. So, again, now the one thing I do like is that most of these teams will be playing in their spring training facility, so it's kind of like you can play home games, no fans supposedly. I don't know at what point they let the fans back in, but I don't mind that aspect of it. I don't like November World Series, Joe, and I certainly don't like 30 teams making the playoffs.
Why don't you like a November World Series? It's when it happens anyway.
I don't like that. Me, baseball is too long now. Joe, how do you feel?
I don't like this at all. I don't like anything here. I don't like the teams switching divisions. I don't like this. I just don't like it. I'd rather not see any baseball, and I love baseball. I'm just not a fan of it. And November, I think we've seen baseball once in November, and his nickname is Mr. November, Derek Jeter, when the Yankees played in after midnight once. But I don't like it. Anything about it? That's just me.
Jeff, I think you're right. The novelty. Yeah, Jeff.
Baseball should end in October, without a doubt. I agree with you. That's 100%. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Games can go into November a couple more than once, because I remember watching it when I was in Cape May to see who would win the World Series, and that's when our anniversary is. But it would be cool for 1 year. What they should do, you want to include all the teams in there? Okay. So see them. What is that, 32 teams in Major League Baseball?
30 teams, I think. I think it's 30 teams. 30.
Okay. So seed them 1 through 15, whatever, 1 through 30, and 30 plays 1, 2 plays 29, one game series until you get closer to the end. And then you could boost up the series. Do a best of 5, do a best of 7, whatever.
See, that end of it, I don't like. I don't. I think that, again, the same conversation I had with Jeff last week, and I think we were talking to Mike Passamonte about football adding another wild card, and I didn't like it because you cheapen the regular season. And I don't. I think the regular season should mean something. I mean, teams should get to the playoffs, Joe, based on playing well, not being, you know, a below 500 team. So I think that's the same thing here. I think if they fix that, I want to see baseball. I want to see baseball played because I missed a game, and I think it would signal a change for us. But that format I don't like, Joe.
No, not at all. I don't like it at all. I mean, I'm a huge baseball guy. I watch so much baseball, and I can watch any game. I can watch Tigers, Blue Jays, any team. I just don't like this format. I don't know. Every team's in the playoffs. So I just think it's going to be a mess. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, so Joe, you would be more on the sense of you would not watch a lot of baseball. Jeff, you're on the other side of this. You say you may actually watch a little bit more baseball or watch some baseball based on the fact of the Yankees or playing some different teams or some other teams playing that they normally wouldn't play, Jeff, right?
Definitely pay. Listen, I think it's just human nature for everybody at one time or another to be like, you know, hey, what would happen if the Mets played in the division with, you know, the Red Sox instead of the Yankees or however they have it set up. It's just something completely different. Does it make sense to me? No, because if you're going to move these teams around like you do, what difference does it make? Unless the teams that they mentioned play in Arizona and the other ones play down in Florida, that's like, okay, we're going to have to base the divisions on this because this is where they do their spring training. But... Mm-hmm. Long story short, I just find it a little different. It gives you something to look forward to, something to think about. That's all.
The only thing I don't like that there's no strategy. There's no strategy now. You got an ace on the mound for the Yankees, pitching. Nobody's in the crowd. There's no crowd noise now getting on him. That's what I like. I like that kind of stuff. Now you're gonna have a quiet stadium and there's nobody, you know, yelling and screaming. I don't know.
I got that point, Joe. But you know, strategy in baseball is left a long time ago. Nobody hits and runs. They barely steal bases. You know, I think strategy left baseball a long time ago when guys stopped learning how to do those things. So, yeah, Jeff, I cut you off by accident.
It's not that you cut me off, Tom. I got to ask, Joe, this is one for you more because you brought it up. And I meant to say this the other night, Tom, and I forgot, never got it out. Suppose they were to play soundtracks, like crowd soundtracks, so to speak, you know, like they hit the ball, there's cheers and everything else. And, you know, maybe the pitcher's not doing so good. So they do a few, like, you know, rumblings and, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. I think it would be cool, no?
Oh, boy.
you got to think this is a different time.
Right.
Completely different time.
I'll answer this way. I hate when somebody lip syncs a song. That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah, but if the crowd would have been cheering, what difference does it make if it's a crowd cheering or a tape cheering? The players are going to want to hear it, too.
No, I get it. And Tommy, I would still watch baseball. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell you I wouldn't. I would still watch baseball, and I just wouldn't like it, but I would definitely still watch it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think at this point we're watching old baseball games. We're watching old shows. I mean, although we're watching some great Super Bowls, like the one that was on Fox yesterday showing Eli Manning winning the Super Bowl 42 over the Patriots. But it's always
– Is that the one – was that the lucky – oh, wait a minute. Every Super Bowl that Eli won was the lucky one. Sorry.
Luck.
Tom, you forgot, Tom, future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer, Eli Manning. That's true. I forgot. Right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Here at Hard Rock and Sports, 347-826-9934 is the call-in number. Joe Gansis is joining Jeff Towinski and myself for a couple minutes, talking a little bit of everything. We got some baseball working out, talking about Eli in the Hall of Fame because that's where he's headed in about 4.5 years. Much to the dismay of my colleague and dear friend Jeff Tawinski.
He's done. What has he fucking done? He hasn't done dick. The guy hasn't done fucking dick.
Jeff, please have your wife check. Make sure you haven't hit your head lately. Maybe the fumes from the blower kind of messed your brain up. Let your wife take a look at you because I think it's fucked with your brain, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Nah, come on, man.
Hey, Eli is
not a fucking Hall of Famer, bro.
Let's talk a little football, Joe. Your Bills had a great offseason, Joe, and the draft's coming up. Brady's gone. Are the Bills the team to beat in the AFC East this year, Joe?
Well, I was in the car with my nephew the other day going to get some food, my brother's son, Andrew, and he said that division is pretty much looks like it's going to be the Bills. Of course, you have to play the games. I mean, they look good in that division. They blew it in last year's playoff. I wanted to break my friggin' TV. Oh, God almighty. But that's the Bills. That's the Bills for me. But I think they're the team to beat. I really do.
Jeff, I'll let you jump in. You're a member. Your team's a member of the AFCs. Hasn't won it in 50-something years, probably. But
Well, you can add another year on there because they're not winning it this year. That's for damn sure.
Well, so
until New England is unseated, I still have to go with that. It's New England's division to lose. Do I think that Buffalo made the biggest strides in that division? Without a doubt. Without a doubt, you can't. I think they were a good team last year. I think they definitely went in the right direction this year. But until they actually beat out the Patriots, it's still the Patriots division as far
That's
as
fair.
I'm
That's fair.
I think it's fair. I do think Buffalo did the most damage so far. I think they were a good team last year. Getting Stephon Diggs was a big thing. And you know what? But I tell you what, don't fall asleep on Miami, and I'll tell you why. 14 draft picks. 3 number ones, so I got a feeling to turn one of those number ones moving up. I think Miami may do some damage. I don't think they went into division, but I think Miami's going to be a better team this year. I think they're going to go draft a quarterback. They may sign a quarterback as a veteran, but don't fall asleep on Miami. I think Miami's gotten better. It's going to get better. So don't fall asleep on those guys.
No. If anything, the only people that Miami is better than is the Jets. That's the only. They're not going to do nothing. The Dolphins.
Yeah. See. I'm nobody on this phone is a bigger Bill Belichick fan than me. My problem is he's got a lot of holes to fill. I mean, that was I know they were 12-4, but that wasn't a really good team last year. Especially offensively, they lost their quarterback now. They still don't have a wide receiver. They need a tight end, and they need an offensive line. They have to rebuild the offensive line. You know, this could be the year that Bill Belichick takes a step back in that division, and they wind up third place.
He's got it, Tom. Who's the quarterback?
Well, that's the big question. That's going to be the big question. I mean, he's got a lot of draft picks, too. I think he's got 12 this year. So I think Belichick's going to do some things, but I think it's going to come down to this. A lot of needs on that team, and I got to be honest with you. If you ask me now, I'll pick them for second, but it wouldn't shock me if they fell to third place. Would not shock me.
And who's going to be in second place if they fall to third?
That's a great question, Jeff. I you know what? Again, right now, I don't know. That's why I'm picking them for second. I'm picking them for second place because I don't believe in the Jets. And I want to see what Miami does at quarterback and a couple other spots. But I think New England may get the second place by default.
You got to remember one thing about Miami, okay? They have a lot of picks and everything else, but they completely gutted that team. Yeah, they won 5 games last year, and which was a surprise. I didn't think they were going to do nearly that well. But
sure.
I don't think that they're going to be the same team. They're going to have a lot of rookies. We don't know how many of those draft picks and their first rounders are they actually going to hold on to. Don't forget, let's say they call Cincinnati. They will give you 2 first rounders.
Yeah.
Straight up number one.
Yeah.
Cincinnati,
that's my point. Yeah. Listen, they could easily make the offer. I don't know if they will. I don't know if Cincinnati would accept it. But they could easily say, you know, we'll switch picks with you, give you another number one. And then go draft Burrow, and then Cincinnati takes the 4th pick, and they draft Tua. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I'm pumped for the NFL draft on the 23rd. So,
how about this question? Last year the Buccaneers were 7-9. How much better does Tom Brady make them?
We had this argument conversation last Thursday, one night last week, Joe. I think maybe Saturday we had this one.
Thursday.
Was it Thursday, Jeff? Whatever.
I believe it was Thursday.
I said that I think Tom Brady makes them two or three games better, and they sneak into the playoffs this year and get beat. I don't think they're good enough. I think that they're good enough to be 10-7 this year because they're playing 17 games and sneak into the playoffs. And Jeff thinks I'm crazy.
You're insane. There's no way. There's no way.
Absolutely I disagree. No way. Joe, don't you think that Tom Brady is at least two or three games better than Jameis Winston and with that offense and can sneak them into the playoffs?
Well, yes. I think they're at least two games better. So if they play 17 games, 7-9, I think they're at least 9-8 or 10-7. But, Jeff, let me ask a question. If Tom Brady is on the Jets right now, does he make the Jets better?
No. No, not
Why
at all.
Not? You rather have Donald than him?
Right now, at this point in time, I'd rather have Donald because Donald has a stronger arm. He's a younger player. He's got more of an upside. Brady had an off year last year. The Patriots were still 12-4. We saw Brady. He wasn't what he once was. I don't think Brady is all that. He's a football mind at this point in time. I'll give you that much. He's smart and everything else. Probably one of the smartest, if not the smartest, in the league. Is he going to be able to take a team like the Buccaneers to the next level? I don't see it. I really don't see it. I can't say that I see it at all.
I got to think they win at least two more games. I got to think.
I agree. I find it hard to believe that they won't. The one thing he didn't have last year, Jeff, you're right. Tom Brady's not the Tom Brady of two or three years ago, but he was good enough. If he had a decent set of receivers, I think he would have been better. And he has good receivers, and he had the tight end and O.J. Howard. They got some good plays down there. Two games is not a big deal to me with Tom Brady. And if they're not, then you're right. Then it's a one and done thing for Tom.
Look at it this way, okay? Think of some of the other teams that are in the NFC. But at the NFC East, aside from the Redskins and the Giants, I could see the Philly, the Eagles, or the Cowboys getting into the playoffs. One win in the division, possibly the other win in a wild card. AFC South, I could see the Saints and maybe Atlanta getting in, okay? I don't see the Panthers doing it, and I don't see the Buccaneers doing it. NFC North, I could see the Vikings and the Packers getting in. Trubisky gets his head out of his ass. Maybe Chicago could compete for a wild card position. You go to the NFC West, you already got the Seahawks and the 49ers are going to be the top two teams. The Rams were in the playoffs, the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so I can't count them out. Even though they kind of had a fire sale. And the Arizona Cardinals, they got that receiver. Kyler Murray's going to be in his second year in this system. They did better than a lot of people thought. I wouldn't count them out if they mature a little bit and they mature quickly. So there's a lot of teams that I can see going ahead of the Buccaneers with this extra game.
Well, I think Jeff brought up a good point. Tommy, would you say that Brady's division now is better than the East last year? Yes, right? Overall?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Right. I think that – well, wait, hold on a second. I think the Saints take a step backwards. I don't think the Saints are going to be 13-3 this year. I don't think Atlanta's any better. I just think the Bucs get a little better. But, yes, I still think that division may be better than the AFC East at this point, maybe.
So then – that's gonna if that's the case, that might hurt Brady. He was 12-4 last year. I'm just saying, last year was a weaker division. He was 12-4. This year it's harder. So
Again, I don't think it's a problem of his own division. Again, I don't think the Falcons are any better. The Panthers, I don't think are better. And I think the Saints take a step back. So I think they steal a game in their own division. Maybe a game or two in their division that they wouldn't normally have won. And I just think, and again, we'd have to work out. I have to bring up a schedule and see who they're playing and when. But I just think extra wild card. I can't imagine that the Bucs can't win a couple extra games and sneak their way into the playoffs. I don't think they'll make a run, but I definitely think they sneak in. That's my opinion.
I got to go.
Teams,
soon.
There's too
Joe,
many
I know
teams.
You got to go.
No. I want to ask Jeff. I'm sorry. Before I go, one question. I want to ask you one question before I go. Jeff can go first. You have to pick three before I go. Three of the greatest NFL players you've ever seen in your life. Who you got, Jeff?
Three of the greatest? Joe Montana.
Go ahead.
I would say one. And this is hard to fucking just hit me up with this one, man. Wow. Peyton Manning. And, man, wow. I don't know. I can't give three right off the top like that, man. Randy Moss. I don't know.
Tom?
LT, Walter Payton, and probably Jerry Rice would be the three greatest I've watched play. But I could throw a bunch in there. You know, like Jeff said, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino. There's a bunch. But those three guys, you know, to me, they're at the top of their, what they did in ever.
That's
all right,
so what's yours, Joe?
Me, I got to go LT, Barry Sanders, and I'm going to go Peyton Manning.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice, good ones. I know you got to go, Joe, but I want to say thank you for doing an hour with us, Joe. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tommy.
Catch you later, Joe.
See you later, Joe.
Bye.
It's Joe in his secret language saying goodbye. Hard Rock and Sports 347-826-9934. Remember, a couple big guests coming at the NFL Draft Show in 2 weeks. And actually next Thursday night, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Mark Fauna from Grand Funk Railroad on the 30th. And then May 7th, Tommy John jumps into the schedule. We'll change in guests. We had a couple of guests that night. We're going to be moving them. And we'll get Tommy John on the show on May 7th. So stay tuned for Hard Rock and Sports. And then we'll let you know when Harry Carson will be available. And I'm waiting for a date back from Harry. We'll see what happens with that one. Jeff, what else is on your mind tonight? What else you want to bring up? I want to talk a little NFL draft, but I'll let you jump in with something first.
No, but you want to talk draft? Let's talk draft.
Yeah, I want to get back to it because I've been reading about is you know, the top five and how it could change. And I have like 75 scenarios where Joe Burrow is not the number one pick. I just have this thought process, you know, and you know, when you get to the Redskins at two, do they need a quarterback? The Lions, what do the Lions do? Does San Diego and Miami move up? You know, this might be the best top five for thought process. But let me ask you this before we talk a little about that. The commissioner will be doing the draft in his basement of his house, I guess. I don't know who else is going to be there, if he'll be there by himself, taking phone calls from the teams. What's your thought on the way they're going to be doing the draft this year? Do you think it's less dramatic by not having all the people in the big room and the fans, or is it okay? You know, team calls in and it's streamlined and it's just, you know, okay, make your pick. Thank you. Trades. What's your thought?
Well, I will say I kind of agree with you. Depending on what happens, like a perfect situation, I don't believe the Chargers when they say that they're good with Tyrod Taylor. This is somebody that hasn't played in two or three seasons full time, so I don't see that happening. That's one thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Second, if Burrow doesn't go first, you may feel the earth move with people trying to come up with plans and ideas, especially if the Redskins turn around and they say, no, we're not trading because now we want this kid young.
Yeah.
So depending on what happens, if Cincinnati moves out of first place or doesn't take him, and the Redskins are just like, nope, we're taking Chase Young, that's all there is to it, then from third place on, God only knows what could happen. It could be complete. It could be like a free-for-all.
Yeah. I mean, listen, yeah, you're 100% right. I think the one solid pick is going to be number two with the Redskins. I think the question is, does Cincinnati try to make a move down? If, let's say, if you're Cincinnati and you're going to take Tua, maybe you want to offer the number one pick to Miami at four, because you got to figure 2, 3, and 4 aren't taking the quarterback. So you trade down, you get a second number one pick, you get Joe Burrow maybe or Tua at the number four or five, at the five pick, because the Giants aren't taking the quarterback, neither are the Lions, I don't think. So there's a lot of possibilities in the top of this draft. I'm just curious how it's going to play out with just the commissioner in his basement, basically, taking phone calls or taking it off the screen, or however they're going to do it. I think it's going to be weird when they have trades, Jeff. I think it's going to be a very interesting night for the NFL draft.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure that by now they have this all figured out and everything, how they're going to do this. You know, that them broadcasting it is probably going to be the least of everybody's issue when it comes to this, because they have so many different ways of doing this now, and, you know, I'm sure it'll be fine. The one thing that I see different, you know, that you're saying is there could be a whole bunch of different scenarios with everything. You know what I mean? All it takes is one team to switch around, and you just don't know how it's all going to work out. Suppose San Diego is telling the truth and they do want to use Tyrod Taylor. Or suppose Miami turns around and says, you know what? It looks as though to us that they're going to take Cincinnati's going to take Burrow. We don't have to switch the trade with anybody. We'll keep our picks, or we don't want to, or we're going to take this other guy. You don't know. You really don't. You know?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And you know what? Here's what's really interesting. You know, I didn't send you the email yet. So we were reached out to, and I'll tell you who it is, Jeff. I'm just getting my emails up right now. I want to just tell you what I saw today. So, you know, usually there's a lot of betting on the in football. You know, there's a lot of sports bets. And I don't know too many people who are actually betting on the NFL draft. You know, maybe somebody's betting on who's going to be number one or whatever. We got an email today from a guy, head odds maker David Strauss, who has appeared on ESPN Radio, The Ringer, Barstool Sports, and he wants to be our guest for the draft. He wants to be on our show helping us go through the draft. And there are some odd, what do they call, prop bets for the draft. And can I read you a couple of them?
Sure, of course.
Okay. So these are some of – this is the over and under – here's one. Over and under 3.5 total dogs shown during the first round. Now, just to kind of clarify, they're going to have cameras in 50-something college players' houses showing them when they get drafted. So, you know, normally the guy would come out from the back, they put the hat, the shirt, and the jersey on them, and they take pictures. Now the guys will be home. So they're saying, how many total dogs will you see during this? Over and under 3.5. Over and under half a cat. I don't know how you get a half a cat, Jeff. I'm betting one cat is enough, but will any of the draftees be shown drinking beer? Yes or no? Will any draft pop a bottle of champagne? Will any of the draftees be shirtless? Will anybody have a suit on? Who will number one overall pick hug first? Mom, dad, girlfriend, friend, sibling, or pet? What position will Mr. Irrelevant be? That's the last player picked in the draft. Interesting bets, Jeff. And think about how creative these guys are to be able to come up with stuff that people can actually bet on at this point.
Come on, man. There's degenerates that'll look to bet on anything. You know that. Like some of them, I'm surprised that, you know, Donnelly knows. I'm not even surprised at some of the things that they came up with. I'm surprised that you actually are surprised that they came up with that stuff. They got to have a whole shitload of stuff.
I don't know, but
it must be unbelievable.
Yeah. So they want to. We have a bookie who actually a head bookie somewhere who wants to be part of our show that night. By the way, I don't know what your plans are tomorrow, but Dwayne wants to do a run through on the video, trying to do a video show. So I don't know if you have time tomorrow morning, but we might, you know, if you're around and available, we can take a shot.
I gotta see what goes on tomorrow. I may have to run out a little bit.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
So see what your schedule is and let me know. But I just talked to Dwayne on Facebook, and he wants to try to do a run through to see how the technology works for both of us. And then, like I said, I'd like to do the draft show on video. I think it'll be fun. But it doesn't have to be tomorrow. We can pick any day of the week to do it. But he's asking about tomorrow. So we'll talk about that. But I think, first off, that makes it fun. I mean, I'm going to try to tell you the truth. I'm going to try to make some of these bets myself just to have some fun with it. You throw $10 here, $10 there, and see how it goes. But yeah, Jeff, this could be an interesting draft. You know, think about this. If the Redskins don't take Chase Young at two, what does that do to that draft? Think about it.
Yeah, it could.
If they went quarterback?
You don't know.
Yeah, if they went quarterback in that spot and took, you know, whoever wasn't taking number one, or if somebody moves up and trades with Cincinnati and takes Chase Young at number one, because most people think Chase Young is the best prospect in this draft.
Yeah, I read that. More than one person has said that.
I think it's an interesting theory. So we'll see. But you know, this draft in the top 10, especially, is going to be loaded with at least two quarterbacks, four offensive linemen, probably a corner and an edge rusher. I mean, right off the bat, those are the best players. I think after that, when you get to the Jets at 11 or 12, you'll start to see a run on receivers. But, you know, it depends on how crazy people are for quarterbacks. I mean, is Justin Herbert going to get drafted in the top 10? Is he fall? Julian Love from Notre Dame, the quarterback, is he going to fall? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, I think, the most interesting draft in years, my opinion.
Do you think that one of these other quarterbacks are going to slip through the back door, or somebody that you didn't think?
Yeah, I think somebody's going to fall in love with Justin Herbert, and it really could be the San Diego Chargers. I think the Chargers he's a West Coast kid. I think that's the type of quarterback they're looking for, the tall, big quarterback. I really do believe that San Diego is going to be the team. But I'm looking for the team that was – remember Kansas City, Jeff? They traded up from like 27 to 10 to take Mahomes. I want to see the team that's going to do that. I think there's a team out there, and it may be New England, but I think there's a team out there who's going to try to make a big jump to get in there and grab one of these quarterbacks.
I don't know, because is there anybody other than Burrow that you can see somebody going completely mental for like that? I just
Tua.
Don't see it.
Tua, you know what? Here's the problem.
Well,
here's why, Jeff. Here's why. Well, that's the problem with Tua, but here's the thing with Tua. He played at a big program. He won the national championship as a freshman. I think he played the championship game as a sophomore and lost, and was headed there again in his junior year this year when he got hurt. So
yeah.
Tua has a better resume than Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow may be the better quarterback to a certain extent, but Tua's got a better resume, and a lot of people love Tua. So if you can buy into the fact that he's medically healthy and will stay healthy, I think there's a lot of people who would rather go get Tua, Jeff.
You know, that injury, I mean, he's saying that he's good, but he can't. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but they can't check him. So it's
– That's the problem.
You know, it lets people think, like, is he okay? You know what I mean?
Listen, that is a big factor in this, Jeff. And I was just thinking, it's a good thing we didn't have Joey on the other night when we were talking about Queen, because he might have lost it. But it's really good we had Joe on. I appreciate him coming on tonight. But Yeah, listen, again, I think that's the big problem for a lot of players. I just read that McCaffrey just got signed to a 4-year extension. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, he's a good player, man.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey. That long to fucking get him.
Yeah. But you know, I think this top of the draft, Jeff, this top 10. To be honest with you, I could see Herbert dropping out of the top 10. But I've read a lot lately, and there are a lot of people who think that he could go to one of those teams in the middle of the pack, and that team like Miami may trade up to the Giants spot to take him. And Miami's sitting there, Jeff, with three number one picks, three number ones. So if they come out of there with one of those number ones and a player, that's pretty good for Miami.
Yeah, it could be good for them, without a doubt. But I just, you know, it's nobody is really sticking out like that. You know, like, can this guy be the game changer? Are these other quarterbacks? You know, their names are starting to be relevant now, but they're not really, front page stories all of the time. They're not up in the top 10, the top 12, top 15, it seems. Other quarterbacks and other players, especially the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, nobody's talking about some of these other quarterbacks. So maybe is there a chance that they slip or that somebody else will, you know, change their look to trade up for them? It's possible, but I don't know, man.
There is a bunch of quarterbacks. I mean, we don't talk about Jacob Eason, the kid from, I think he went to Washington. A lot of people love Jacob Eason. Jake Frome from Georgia, who I like. I like Jake Frome, but I don't know if he's going to be much of an NFL pro quarterback. It's weird. I think he's got some ability. But there are a lot more quarterbacks. But to me, you know, I don't like this draft class, and I think it's not as good as the one 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? The one with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And that class is kind of questionable
Three years?
Okay. So to me, that class is very questionable right now because Mayfield, I think, took a step back last year. So did Darnold. Rosen hasn't done anything. You could say Lamar Jackson had a good year last year, so maybe he's taking a step up. And I thought Allen played pretty well. So that class is kind of up in the air. I think a big year for that class this year. This class isn't as good as that class, at least not in college. And so I'm not that high on this class. I have to be honest with you. I'm not high on this class.
I hear you. But, you know, you just don't know because some of these guys aren't saying anything. They're going to turn around and try to hope that their guy slips them, you know?
Well, I think even more so. I mean, listen, every year Ray sends out smoke screens. Everybody wants it. Everybody think, oh, what's the Giants going to do? Oh, they're going to do this. The Giants are leaking and they're going to do this. And we'll have other thoughts. And I think the Giants would be thrilled to grab another pick, preferably a one, but they probably would take a two and slide back a place or two. The Giants, I believe, are going to take an offensive lineman. There are four really good ones. One stands out. I love Andrew Thomas. Above and beyond the rest of them, just watching his highlights and the stuff I read about him. But they can literally come out of there with one of those four guys or a defensive player, and I would be a happy guy. So people send out smoke screens all the time. You know, the question is, what can you believe? What can't you believe? I want to start looking at the draft myself now to see who I think is going to try to jump up. And it always happens. Somebody's going to try to come all the way up and grab a player. Just the question is, who's that going to be? I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun draft.
You got to understand something, too. Without a real hot quarterback other than Burrow and possibly Tua, but Tua coming off an injury, is there anybody that's actually going to try to move up right off the bat? You know, three years ago, when Sam Darnold was in the draft, the Jets already made that move at this
Correct.
Point in time.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
And sometimes you hear about a couple different, trades and everything else, but you don't know what's actually going to happen because these guys can't bring these kids in. So it makes a difference. It really does. because you don't know what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, see, I think the problem on this draft is there's a lot of depth at offensive line. There's a lot of depth at receiver. I think there's some depth at corner. But, you know, the big skill positions like running back, there's really not some good players, but nobody jumping off. There are a bunch of quarterbacks, but I don't believe in really any of them as great future pros. Could be wrong. So I don't believe there will be anybody jumping up all the way through. I don't. I think Miami wants a quarterback, and they're going to try to take one. At number five, the question they're going to be watching out for is, will somebody try to jump up to the Lions spot or the Giants spot and grab a quarterback and grab a quarterback there? So I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun next Thursday, a week from Thursday, when we do the show. Unfortunately, we won't be in the same room, but I think we'll try to put together the video thing and try to be in the same, at least on the same screen, look at each other when we're doing it, trying to have some fun. We'll see what happens. You got anything else,
yeah,
Jeff, you want to bring
up? I hope it all works out one way or another this year. We were supposed to be there. We were planning on that and everything. And unfortunately, if things had changed a little bit, I would have said, you know, maybe take the chance. You come here, I come there. But we just can't do that right now. You know,
yeah.
It's just not worth the in the long run. It's just not worth what could happen.
Agreed. Yeah, listen, you know, I mean, unless there's some sort of miracle cure in the next week, yeah, it's probably better off to do it that way. But we'll do the show. We'll be on video. We'll have the screens up. We'll be able to watch each other and talk to each other. And we'll have the TVs on, and we'll kind of keep up with the picks. And we'll have some fun with it. Well, like I said, if the technology works out and we're happy with it, we'll reach out to a couple of guys and have them call in occasionally and offer their analysis. And we'll have some fun for a couple hours and see how it goes. But I think it's time to bring this one to a close. Jeff, you got anything else you want to throw in tonight? Maybe we'll do another show tomorrow or before Thursday. But do you have anything else you want to get in tonight?
No, dude. It was just nice to do another show and to, you know, hang in there and, you know, spend a little time on the phone and, you know, talk about this stuff that we like to talk about. And it was nice to have Joey on for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of fun, man. It's always good. Like I said, breaks up the day for me. The days are flying by, to be honest with you. But it's always nice to do a little something at the end of the day and talk a little sports and just general stuff, what we're up to. So we'll say thanks to Joe Ganzis from Around the Kit for calling in tonight and give us a hand. Thanks to everybody who's listening in. Maybe tomorrow night we'll do a show. We'll see what Jeff's schedule is. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll do a quick show tomorrow night. Wednesday night's Pass the Mic with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham. Thursday night back here, Hard Rocket Sports. We have Ross the Boss calling in this Thursday night. So we'll talk to Ross the Boss Friedman, who really has an amazing album out. I'm looking for it real quick. Born of Fire, really good. I sent it to Jeff. I don't know what you thought of it, Jeff, but I kind of enjoyed it.
I listened to some of it. It wasn't bad, but do we get to wear lion cloth as we talk to him or what?
Yeah, I think we have to. I think it's almost a have to. I wonder if he will be wearing a loincloth. You'll have to ask him, but I think we should show up in our studios in loincloth. So I think that would be only fitting when we talk to Rustin.
Is it really the kind of question you ask another man? Are you wearing a loincloth right now?
I think in today's day and age, Jeff, I think anything's allowed. I think you're allowed to ask anything. So why not? Ross, we're in loincloths, but they just look like tidy whities. That's all. You can tell them something like that. They just look like tidy whities.
Oh, man. Wow.
We'll have Ross the Boss on Thursday night with us, and we'll be back with a full show. We'll probably do some more NFL draft stuff. I want to talk to Jeff about some of the needs on some of the top 10 teams. We started doing that a little bit with the Patriots the other night, but we'll get more into that, and whatever pops up in our little feeble brains, we'll bring that to you Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. But pay attention tomorrow. If if Jeff's available, we'll do a show sometime tomorrow afternoon or evening, and to this all again. But hey Jeff, you know, the end of every show, there's a certain button that I hit. Do you kind of remember what it is?
Yes, I do, man. It's a classic.
Even having
classic button.
Here it comes.
Stage is that moose, you know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
That's right. So for Jeff Towinski, Nick Marino, Sam Bohm, myself, and everybody here at Hot Rock and Sports, we say thanks for listening tonight. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time. Stay healthy. And hopefully we'll either see you tomorrow or certainly we'll see you Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30 right here at the Hard Rock and Sports Network. Hefe, thanks, brother. We'll talk tomorrow morning.
All right, man. You got it, dude.
Catch you later.
Later.